Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 128 for Thursday, March 21st, 2013. You know how I usually say we're back? Well, we're back. Yeah, we're back. So it feels like it's been forever since Mobile World Congress, actually, which is, almost a month ago. We are back. Alex, Jerry, Phil, Android Central people, you know us, right?
I've talked to you all a time or two.
Yes. If it's your first time here, welcome. Should probably be more humble and say we are not the greatest Android podcast on the face of the earth. But the fact is we are. And part of that reason are these two guys, Jerry Hildenbrand and Alex Dobie. So, Alex, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good because you got that you got that HTC One review out from under you.
I did, yeah. Big review, a lot to say about that phone. The very short version is it's probably the best Android phone you can buy right now.
Probably. For at least like the next month.
I mean, that's I'm kind of hedging that. Because we
Jerry Hildenbrand. Perfect. Wait. We got to introduce Jerry. Jerry Hildenbrand from West Virginia.
Hey.
So this is the first time we've all done this together in a little while. Jerry and I did a quickie podcast last week. Renee and I did one from New York from the Galaxy S4 event. And otherwise, I mean, I've been getting over the post-show plague from Mobile World Congress. And if my throat gives out, and it will, trust me, and I'll have to hack over to the side. I mean, it's been a while since we've done this together. So guys, welcome back. It's good to have you.
Oh, it's good to be back in normal time and channel.
Yes, and with the live chat room. So again, if it's your first time joining us or if you're listening for the first time on the recorded version, we do this live on Thursday nights, mostly, sometimes, and have a live chat room, which is always cool. So, oh, wow, those guys are nuts. They are always insane. So, hi, guys. Where do you want to start? We got a whole lot to kind of catch up on. I don't want to repeat ourselves too much, but we're going to a little bit. So if you've caught the last one or two podcasts, I think we'll probably go over things a little bit more. But mainly, Alex and Jerry both have HTC Ones. I've had one, I guess, a little bit longer than Alex, but not much. I mean, Alex, can you believe we've only had these phones 2 weeks now?
I mean, in your case, yeah. For me, it's been just over a week.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. We've had a lot to talk about, and this is the kind of phone that takes time to get to know. There are a lot of little quirks that it has, a lot of new stuff it says to get to grips with.
It really does. Now, I kind of said that from the start, right? From the initial, when Alex was briefed and I'd had those meetings with HTC, and we knew exactly what we were getting into, but even then, I didn't quite appreciate it. And I mean, it still took a lot of using this phone and kind of getting a handle on it. And even then, it still took me about a week before I really understood Zoe's and Highlights and how they work together, but how they're not the same. And I mean, do you feel that now? Are you comfortable with them?
I am. And yeah, that's probably the biggest part of the new sense that takes time to get used to. Blink Feed, although it is, there are lots of ins and outs of it. There are a lot of things that plug into it that you wouldn't necessarily think would, like the TV app, for instance.
Right.
The camera is the really complex side. And, the camera part of our review is probably the longest because there's that much to say about it, not just on the hardware side because you've got the ultra-pixel camera, but on the software side where you've got things like Zoe's and the highlights, automatic highlight reels, all that other stuff.
Now that I think about it, we need to do a separate feature on the TV app, because actually and I'm working on a whole other post about infrared IR blasters being kind of the it feature of 2013, because everything is adding these. Alex and I were talking the other day about devices that have added IR ports in the past year, and there were a lot more than I thought of. So the HTC One, Galaxy S4, what's this other one I have here? The LG Optimus Pro has a little one up here in the front. Picking up phones here in front of me that have them. All right, so I have two that have them, I guess. The Sony devices. It's, I mean, I
Xperia think Z, sorry, Xperia ZL,
right.
Xperia Tablet Z, the Galaxy Note 8.0.
I think we've got six devices now in the past, 6 months or whatever, that have IR blasters. I mean, Jerry, did you see this coming back? This is an old school. I don't have it sitting right here. I pulled up my old Palm, like the very first PDA I ever bought, and not one of the really early palms, but one of the first like really good ones. I mean, where did this come from?
IR control's not going away anytime soon.
No, but it did go away. Why is it back now?
Well, it only went away on small universal devices. It never went away on your TV.
No, but it went away on my phone.
I'm surprised it did.
Hmm.
Your phone is either always in your pocket, always on your desk. It's your phone. You've always got it close to you.
Right.
What better thing to use to change your damn TV channel?
And that is exactly the story that every manufacturer that has put one in there, be it Samsung or HTC or LG, has said. Like, look, you're sitting there anyway. You're answering email and not paying attention to whatever it is you're watching. Change the damn channel with your phone. Or in the case of every manufacturer, use Peel, which is pulling in basically cable data, right? So it says, hey, here's the show. Do you want to watch it now? Just hit this button and we'll change the channel for you. And it surprisingly, it works really well. When I was really sick the week after, and I'm only moderately sick now, but when I was really sick the week after Mobile World Congress, and I'm laying in bed, I'm like, oh my God, the remote's like 3 feet away. I can't get to it. So I actually, this was after I got the one, I guess, so it was maybe a week later. So I actually fired up that app for the first time and set it up within like a minute. Answer a couple questions. And then I have the remote control sitting here in my hand instead of having to roll over to the other side of the bed and actually pick up the remote control. That's how lazy I was. I worked harder to stay lazy than if I just rolled over and pick up the remote.
Right afterwards, you fired up Skype. Jerry, guess what I just did?
I did, actually.
I didn't even have to get out of bed. So see, they're right.
It worked. I mean, well, I hesitate to tell Jerry's story about this because Jerry broke some news on us yesterday. He's like, I fried my cable box.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just an issue with my cable box.
Yes.
And we've got we've given a lot of information to HTC, and I've given some information to Comcast and Motorola via Comcast. So we're going to see exactly what's going on here. But it's not fried. It came back, but I had to have a technician come back out and reset it.
The really interesting thing to me is that you have all these manufacturers putting this one feature into their phones at the same time. And I hesitate to say that it's a required feature because it's really not, right? I mean, nobody bothered with it for forever. And all of a sudden, you have it going into every device out there. Now, there are these consortiums that work with features. You know, you have the NFC working group or whatever, and the Bluetooth special interest group. And, so there's one for IR too, right? I mean, do you think maybe they just strong-armed everybody and saying, hey, we've got this cool way to do it. IR ports are way small now. I mean, the HTC one is hidden here in the power button. I mean, how cool is that? Actually, I'm not crazy about the power button because you can't really feel it that well. It doesn't stick out like other power buttons do. But the LG one is just friggin' tiny hidden in there, right? So they're all like that. It's making sounds at me. The new Samsung one is that way as well. So do you think maybe that's what's behind it? And they just got to everybody at the same time and said, this is the year that we're back?
It could be that. I think it could be. Peel could have a lot to do with it as well because they benefited from this sort of uptake in IR there, powering all these new devices that have this TV tech behind it.
Do you think Peel, I wonder if Peel's gotten any money from this consortium or whoever's behind IR? And I don't know. I haven't looked.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Phil? I think that maybe it's a little bit simpler than that.
Yeah.
They've made the sensors and the circuitry to switch them so tiny now. Any manufacturer can throw it in, and hey, that's a new bullet point for our list of features and specifications.
Yeah, okay.
Phone makers are always looking to add more, and this was really easy for them to add. I really think that was had a lot to do with it.
Okay, well,
one thing Samsung's not scared of doing is adding more features.
Right. We'll get to the Galaxy S4 in a minute. While we're talking about features, and actually this applies to the GS4 as well as the HTC One, I picked up an 802.11 AC router yesterday. I wish I'd done it sooner. So AC is the next standard past what is it? N, right? So is it worth it? I don't think it is. I mean, I would not go out and buy a new router. And I had an N router before. I had a really good Asus 802.11n router, and I upgraded to this AC router. It's also ASUS. It's basically the same thing. It's just the next one. But I'm not seeing Wi-Fi. And I guess the question is, what are you looking for, right? Are you looking for file transfer speeds, like overall router, just bandwidth and speed? I mean, for me, I use a router to get online, right? I use it to get the internet onto my phone. That's the big deal for me. And probably what, Jerry, 95% of the working world, if not more? That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big number.
Right. So I'm getting like 20 down, 7, 8 up on this phone now on Wi-Fi, which I think it's a little bit better than N, but not greatly so. So, I think my thing is don't go out and replace your N router with an AC router right now is my point. And that, and this is the only device in my house, this HTC One, and I guess eventually the Galaxy S4, that uses AC. So is the other thing. So I'm not a network expert, but the way I was reading a white paper yesterday, and the way, you know, basically you get faster peak speeds, but it's also better for when you have more devices connected to the router.
Correct.
But right now I have one. So there's not a whole lot to say about that. So I think my thing is, and this is my unscientific, you know, whatever, but don't go out and replace your N router with an AC router just for this phone. No, you know, even though they're using it as a bullet point.
Well, I'm excited about wireless Wi-Fi AC on phones once they get Miracast straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
A combination of Miracast, Wi-Fi Direct at using the AC protocol whenever it gets finalized, and NFC could make a hell of a neat way to have a bunch of screens with the same content on them.
Yeah, streaming is going to be a lot easier once they get this straightened out. Right. Once there's an easy way to get all that bandwidth all around your house. Because right now, the only way to do that with really, really high resolution content is by running a wire through.
So we're talking, you know, and they're not talking about 20 AC.
Years.
Well, not that far. But I think AC was supposed to be like the real standard come like 2015. So we're
something like that.
Yeah, I think.
Well, we're I don't think they've even finalized N yet.
No, they have. If they have, it's way early.
Yeah, N's been final for a while.
Yeah. But no, AC is pretty, you know, pretty new. I hate to say ignore that bullet point. Ignore that bullet point. Just do it. Don't worry about that. You know, and that's $200 out of our pockets to, you know, figure that out. But, you know, it's interesting. And I can't wait to see with the Inontech guys. I was talking to Brian Klug briefly about it. And he said you should probably also see some slightly better battery life on Wi-Fi. But, Jesus, I mean, Wi-Fi battery life is already really good on all these phones. So, you know, I'm sitting here in my office in Wi-Fi all day. And, you know, let me look and see how long this one's been on. It's been a while. power 23% after 14 hours. So, and that's after running around playing Ingress outside for a little while today.
That one you sent me?
Yes.
Had been on standby for 6 days.
So I sent Jerry, if you guys don't know how it worked, if you haven't heard the story, so HTC sent us a unit. I got it, 2 weeks ago, Saturday, which would be the, where's my calendar? I lost my calendar.
Hit the, you know, the apps button.
So I got it on the 9th, right? And then the 11th, we got the retail unit. So 2 days later, that Monday, we got a retail unit. And so I sent the original one to Jerry, so it has older software. So Jerry has one, I have one. Alex has two now, inside base.
I have one.
Oh, that's right. You had to send one back.
My pre-release one went back.
Right.
I have this one, which is resale.
So, Jerry, what do you think about the hardware? Because we know what Alex thinks. We read his review. We know what I think, basically, because I've been talking nonstop about this forever. So what do you think about it?
I think it's built like a tank. I love the way it's built. I love the beveled edges. Really, really like the look, the way that white rubber is inside the aluminium.
Well, it's plastic. Back.
I had to. It's plastic.
Yes.
You know, you can't feel it, so I'm not sure what it is.
All right. So that's the way it works. If you haven't seen it, and HTC has done a couple posts on it. I've got pictures buried somewhere I need to do something with. the thickness of the HTC One, I mean, this is all one piece of aluminum, right? So the front isn't one piece, and then it's not glued to a piece of plastic. It's all one piece of aluminum that they milled out in a bunch of different ways. And then injected the plastic into, and it's actually pretty impressive to see. So that's what that is. So they call it zero gap technology. And actually my unit here is like straight off the line before they got it really dialed in. So I've got a tiny bit of play in it. But I, you know, wouldn't even say that like publicly in a post or anything. Right.
Now, but I'm not having a full on love affair with the thing.
Neither am I.
I sat there and I held it in my hand and I said, Jerry, why? What don't you like? What's giving you a problem? And I think it's too thin and too tall.
Yeah. It's like the DNA.
A millimeter thicker.
Right.
Yeah. I actually want the phone thicker in my hand. Make it weigh a little more, make it a little bit thicker. But I think it would hold better if that's, you know, if you all know what I mean. You would just be better in your hand if it was a little bit thicker. But that's just me. I've got big hands.
And I've got small hands. The 8X gets away with it, I think, because it's shorter. And it makes a big difference. And especially, the 8X, ooh, I tell you, the bezel of the 8X and the 1 are just about exactly the same. Like the distance between the bottom of the phone and the display. Interesting. I didn't realize that, which is saying something because the One has this giant speaker down here, right, and up top.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference. There's only one way you're going to get two giant speakers, and that's by having a very tall phone.
Right. Yep. No, those speakers meant they had to do a lot of other design compromises, including putting the home and back buttons where they are and having this HTC logo in the middle of them that doesn't do anything. And by the way, if you haven't seen today, there's a post on XDA. Somebody pulled up the E-Trade. Is it E-Trade, the Chinese company that has the replacement display? So there's no way that HTC button, according to that anyway, is going to be ever hacked to actually serve as a button because it's just there is no digitizer or whatever right there, just none.
I wasn't getting any readings with the method they were throwing around to see if anybody could.
Yeah, neither did I.
Mine was just dead.
So it's just. It looks like that's the way it's going to be. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. And honestly, that's a big deal for me. I'm not going to say it's a deal breaker. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of the wrong use case. My job is to try these things and use them. But I prefer having the home button in the middle, especially, with my freakishly small thumbs. That's important to be able to reach to that. I've had to significantly adjust. And actually, at one of the HTC meetings, when they first showed us this thing, I was watching Drew Bamford, their UX guy, use it, and I'm watching to see how many hands he's using. And I said, Drew, I'm not sure if this is just the way you use phones or if this is the way you use this phone, but I'm watching you use it, and you're using two hands on it. You're bringing your other hand over, to hit the home button and to hit something way up top. And I don't think that was by accident, because it's a tall phone.
That's how I have to use a note.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a lot of getting used to, and the One isn't a Note. It's not that big, but it's big enough that it's right at the spot where I can't quite reach everything with one hand.
Right.
So it would take a little bit getting used to. I don't think that would stop me from buying it if I was looking for a new phone, especially, something from my carrier.
Mm-hmm.
If I went in there today and it was sitting on the shelf, I probably wouldn't let that stop me from buying it.
Probably not.
Because does everything else really nice.
I had the same problem with the DNA, and it's just, the way it feels. It's just the way it is. For some people, it's great.
And, the world would suck if they only made phones that feel good to Jerry, Phil, and Alex.
Right.
So,
Well, it would suck for grab it other people.
For us, it'd be good.
I keep coming back to, and I've been using this phone as my main phone for 2 weeks now, and I keep picking up the Nexus 4, and the Nexus 4, I think, is just working better for me. I really do like the rubber on the sides. I think that makes it much more grippable, especially with a plastic bag. And aluminum is not easy to hang on to, right? And the plastic's not as grippable either on the sides. That makes a difference. So it's been fun, picking up all these other phones on my desk, and especially switching in the middle of everything to the Galaxy S4, which was a little bizarre. But no, I mean, the One is a really good phone. Battery life, everyone keeps asking about battery life. I mean, Alex, you're the only one who's actually used this European phone in Europe with LTE, right?
Yep. Battery life is good. It's not particularly outstanding to the point, you know, use certain phones that have really, really great battery life. You'll get a few days out of them, a single charge. It's average battery life, but it's perfectly good average battery life. Sitting here mostly on Wi-Fi today, Wi-Fi and HSPA and hopping between the two. 15 hours, 51 minutes, 38%. Which is fine for me.
Yeah, that's good. In fact,
it's probably a little more than I get from my Nexus 4.
I think you might have been a little hard on it, actually, in your review. Like, I think you're being a little conservative.
Hey, you got to remember, battery life, it's so hard to do because it's different for everyone.
I know, but I think
just the way you use it, but your location makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and Alex, and, you're on kind of a fringe area, right? A little bit.
Well, I know Alex. Kind of hopping on and off LTE when he tells me this is how it works where I live.
I can't hear either one of you when both is talking at the same time. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, so UK and LTE in the UK is kind of patchy right now. It's growing, but in urban areas, you do get a lot of dropping on and off. So, I have to say, even on LTE on this, LTE doesn't seem to make a big impact on battery the way I've noticed in the US using some of Verizon devices it does. So I guess that's some improvement there.
Jerry?
Yes.
No. I think in using a European phone here with Wi-Fi sitting at home and on HSPA, whatever, running around town, I mean, I've been plenty happy with it, right? I'm easily getting what I'm getting with the Nexus 4.
Yeah. I charge my phones every night. I mean, why not? I'm asleep. I don't need them. And I don't see any problem, and that's, you know, dinking around half the time on Wi-Fi, half the time trying to see if I can get Straight Talk to throttle me.
Right.
And no problem.
What else? The camera. I'm still not. I still think Alex is a little hard on the camera. I don't necessarily
the camera.
Agree with you.
The weird thing with the camera takes time to figure out. The camera works the opposite way that you expect a normal smartphone camera to work.
Like when it works really well, it works really well.
Right? Yeah, sorry, talking over you. I can't really hear you. Yeah.
When it works well, it works well. And it doesn't, like, I don't get every shot perfect every time. But I think maybe that's kind of the point of it with the Zoes. And being able to pull images from video. In fact, the image from my column Sunday that everybody freaked out, well, that like one guy freaked out about because he was a dick. You know, that was an image pulled from video, which I thought was a really good picture. You know, the individual pictures you can pull from the 19 or 20 images you get out of a Zoe have been really good. And do we need to talk about Zoes and highlights? Or can we assume that everybody has read that post and read the review and understands it?
Yeah, that's something we need to revisit when people actually get their hands on the phone.
Okay, so we'll wait a little bit.
It made absolutely no sense to me until you sent it.
the biggest thing...
Go ahead.
The biggest thing with this with image quality is that you got to understand it's really good at low light, but there is a ceiling to the quality of shot that you can get because in daylight, you very quickly start to hit this 4-megapixel wall. Whereas with other devices, if you go out in daylight, you'll capture a lot more detail just because you got so much more light getting, you got more potential to capture high resolution images.
I think every review has showed nicely what happens when you zoom in all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have like when you zoom in on the phone when you're taking the picture, and it goes to pot really quick. It's not good.
Well, I think, didn't HTC mention something about reviewing on the screen? They built the camera to look at the pictures on the phone itself, and
that's a cop out, I think.
Well,
they built it for normal people is the way I think Paul O'Brien from Motorco put it, and that's a great way of looking at it. Normal people don't wait for ideal IC conditions. They're not doing perfectly framed shots. They're taking it maybe in less than ideal lighting conditions indoors. Well,
And that's what I consider myself. I mean, I don't mess with the camera.
That's where it shines. I haven't seen a camera on a phone that does low light better than the HTC One.
Well, we need to get you a Lumia. Agreed. We need to get you a Lumia, I think.
Yeah. I've seen comparisons with a Lumia, and it's up there with that in low light, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, somebody we all know and trust, I mean, Miriam.
Oh, yeah.
Right out and said that the HTC One flat out outperforms the Lumia in low light.
Yeah.
And she did camera phones for years and years.
God, I love sitting next to, I was sitting next to Miriam at a dinner in Barcelona with LG when they gave us the Optimus G Pro to play with and use some more. And we're all sitting there in this dark dinner and watching Miriam get these really cool pictures just sitting at a dinner table in the dark. She's like, oh man, God, you're good at this. And she really is. So it was incredible. What else? I mean, I don't want to hash over the software too much more than we have. I don't think Sense 5 is horrible. I think it's pretty good.
It was fun learning it, wasn't it?
It was. I think it stops you from going too quickly. I think it's almost like it puts in speed bumps. And I'm not crazy about that. I think they overthought it a little bit. You know, if you haven't read my post on the app drawer, I think they overthought that a little bit. And again, there are reasons they did all this stuff. There are reasons some things don't work the way I think they should. So it's not like, you know, it's haphazard. But stock is still easier for me to use, I think. Correct. I think, you know, Zoe's and Highlights, I love the idea of Highlights. I think they buried the hell out of them, and it's disappointing. And it, you know, it's that I have to explain Zoe's and Highlights to somebody means something's wrong. And that, you know, I needed 1500 words to explain those two and still not really get that in depth into it.
And I want to throw in you 1500 words, and I bugged you nonstop about it because I was really interested.
Right.
And I didn't get it either until you actually showed it to me.
Right. They
do not do a very good job explaining how all these features are working.
They did a horrible job, but here's the other thing. Have you gone into the... So I'm going to... Where am I going? Mm-hmm. I'm going into the settings menu and about and help. Right, so that's three layers down. Tips and help. I'm now four layers down.
And then you have to download it all.
And then you have to download these really good help videos that explain all this stuff to you and do it like with real good... Here, I'll show one right now. Oh, I have to download it first. Damn it. You know,
those should have been right on the internal storage that the user can delete if they want.
No, these need to be on the home screen. Here,
well,
all right.
Well, I mean, kind of shortcuts on the home screen to them right there.
They're not prominent. Occasionally, they do show up in the first week or so in Blinkfeed.
Oh, do they? Okay, yep. so if you see them
it's
among...
It's easy to lose them in amongst all the other crap that gets thrown.
Right, so if you see them among everything... All right, here. So here's a Zoe, and I'll put it up next to the microphone so you can hear it. Pretty neat, huh? Oh, I fast-forwarded here.
Make your memories come to life with HTC Zoe. With HTC Zoe, the camera automatically takes a series of photos and a 3-second video, giving you that living photo of the moment.
So it's a really nice explanation of how all this works, but damned if you'll ever find it. I mean, this is stuff they can fix relatively easily, I think, right? There's a lot of stuff they can fix relatively easily, and part of me gets frustrated because I've seen, you know, I've been seeing this for 2 months now, basically, from when they first showed it to us, and it wasn't done, and from when they first sent us devices, and it's still not, you know, quite done, and they're still working on things, right? All the Get Started stuff they're still working on, all the Zoe Share stuff, you know, with links that die after 6 months, which to me as a publisher is, you know, there's no bigger sin than a dead link, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff they need to fix and refine that, frankly, I think should have been done at launch.
Yeah. I think there's certainly some stuff on the software side that could be more polished. There's video highlights, I think, could have been done a bit more elegantly.
Mm-hmm.
The way you can't really control what it turns into a highlight if you want to change what's in it, that's kind of buggy at the moment.
Right.
So, yeah, if you take just a few photos indoors for whatever reason and... just to test the camera, it's going to turn that into a highlight reel. You're going to have highlight reels of a single photo, which is just ridiculous, and there's no way really to control that right now.
Yeah, no, they need to fix that. I'm kind of almost tired of talking about the HTC One, but it's that good a phone. It's a really good phone. Like, you need to go try this. You need to use it. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me it sucks.
That's what HTC's trying to do with that's what they're trying to do with this marketing campaign of getting out in various cities and getting people to actually use the phone and hold it in their hands, which was what they need to do with a device like this.
Well, I'm not sure I've seen any real marketing yet.
I have.
Have you? All right. Well, yeah. So you've seen a little bit. They're doing the Barclays Premier League and stuff. They're doing
city tours in the UK.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Now for the past few weeks, yeah.
So they came and kind of trolled the Galaxy S4 event last week, which was interesting. But again, you need more than that, right? It's going to take more to actually get people to use this thing. I'm waiting to see that promised marketing, leap.
On the other hand, the US launch is still probably a month or so away.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's asking about that. I don't know what to tell you, because we don't officially have any dates for the US anyway. I mean, no US carrier said, here's when it's coming, here's when we're launching it. Because frankly, they probably don't know yet. I think it's safe to say it's officially delayed. And, April, is easy. It's a week away. But, man, that's not what they needed. It's not what they needed from a marketing standpoint, from a PR standpoint. They have to get this phone out now, especially with the Galaxy S4 coming. They have to do it.
So stock has been trickling out slowly in Europe. Some places in the UK are selling it. It's on sale in Germany, but it's not been the big singular launch that they needed and that Samsung had last year with the S3. It's been nowhere near that.
Right. So that's going to kill them. Like, talk about it all you want. Show all the cool videos. Go show up at all the events you want. But until people can get this phone in their hand and start talking about it, I don't want to hear it.
And it's a shame because a lot of people are going to like this phone better than any other. Mm-hmm. And they're not even going to know about it until it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah, same old story. And it's a damn shame because as good as the HTC One was, this one is that much better. And I mean, it doesn't have everything. And I get that people are nitpicking. Well, it doesn't have wireless charging. And I'm sorry, but you have to get over the removable battery and storage thing. It either has it or it doesn't, right? That's a feature. And if you have to have removable storage, and if you have to have a removable battery, get another phone. Bitching about it's not going to change anything.
Ask Sony what they think about SD cards. Woo. I think after the Xperia Z fiasco with them, they may stop using them. I hope.
Yeah.
Well, what Xperia fiasco?
That's why the Zs were dying.
Okay.
The issue with the SD card software. So they have to send a fix out. I mean, there's good and bad to everything. So, right.
I mean, there's a reason why Google got rid of them. Like it or not, they had a reason behind it. All right, we have to talk about the Galaxy S4 a little more. Or I'm going to get drummed off the website. What do you guys think after last week? I don't care about what anybody thinks about the event. The event was...
Oh, God. Samsung, show me beautiful women as much as you want. That's what I think about it.
No, the event was the event. I thought it was cheesy. I didn't think it was any cheesier than anything else. It was certainly less weird than the Asus event in Spain. I do not care about the event in terms of what that means for the device. So what do you guys think about the phone from what we saw? Let's start with the design, because you heard a lot of whining about it's just an iteration. It's a 3S. That's bullshit. Well,
Samsung loved the way the S3 looked.
They started
out with that design language,
right,
for the S3, and we've had loads of devices that use that. They weren't just going to abandon that in the middle of this year and make all those devices look obsolete.
Yeah.
So I think if you're expecting anything drastically different, then that's a bit misguided. Right.
All the design engineering and design language that went into the Note 2, did anybody really want them just to throw that away and start from scratch?
Well, I mean, and I think that's what I said at some point last week. Like, you're only disappointed if you were expecting something radically different. And you're not going to get something radically different every time. Like, you shouldn't. I mean, Samsung is the most successful smartphone manufacturer on the planet right now. Save for Apple. And, why would you screw that up? Why would you drastically change that just because somebody thinks you should? It was funny. I was on my way to New York for the event, and I had said something on Facebook that, hey, I'm going up to New York to this Samsung event, check it out. And this aunt of mine replies back, oh, I didn't realize you were going up for that. I just bought a Galaxy S2.
And I'll bet she's going to love it.
But I'm going up to see the Galaxy S4. Why are you just now buying a 2? So, yeah, I mean...
They're still selling it. And right. They just got Jelly Bean. They're still supporting it.
Because she's not a nerd like everybody listening to this podcast and talking on
exactly, it. Because we all know what the hell we're talking about. Because we are all smartphone designers and manufacturers and marketers. No, I have absolutely no problem at all with them tweaking the design. It feels a little beefier. It's a little more squarish on the corners, and you can feel that, but it doesn't feel bad. Honestly, I like this design better than I like the HTC One design. Part of that is, and it's just a tiny bit smaller, but part of that is the bezel, and it's easier to get to the bottom of the screen. The bottom of the screen isn't as far away from my thumb, and that's a big deal. Let me see the top of the screen. The top of the screen.
I think the HTC One
about even.
I think the HTC One hides it very well, but if you look at it, it does have. You've got the trim at the top and the bottom, and you've got the bezel around the screen. If you combine the two, that is an awful lot of bezel on a phone.
It's well, it's
through good design, but it's there.
I hate to call it bezel because there's
the S4. You will get more screen.
Bezel.
That's just a fact.
Bezel implies wasted space. I mean, you've got these two awesome speakers there on the HTC One. I mean, they're too loud. They're all, they're incredible.
Agreed.
Right. But, I mean, so it's not wasted space. It's just a different design. And I think Samsung has still done really well. Same thing with the plastic versus metal thing. I think people get all up in arms about that. But, I mean, they're different, and that's fine. I mean, it's not like HTC didn't use plastic just because they called it polycarbonate, and you know what Samsung calls it polycarb too. I mean, they're different feels. One's glossy, one was matte, whatever. But to me, that doesn't make the phone. That makes a little bit of it. It makes a little bit of the design, but I have absolutely no problem with glossy plastic that Samsung used. You know, if you do have a problem with it, cool. I don't.
I spend my time looking at the front, not the back.
Right. or the old, the battery door is too thin. It's too flimsy. It's like, no, put it on, ignore it. You know, and that goes back to the Infuse, you know, back to the Galaxy S2 days, right? I mean, it was a little ridiculous. The software, again, I'm sitting in this meeting and they're going over all the features of this thing, and I'm just kind of like, what? There was so much stuff. It's just incredible how much they've been able to pack into this. And some of, you know, look, a lot of it's gimmicky, you know, holding your finger over it to pop up a preview of something. It's really cool, but it's really gimmicky. And it was a little janky because the software is not finished, okay? So anyone who says, it's laggy, it's slow, yes, the software was not finished. I actually like that hover preview thing. That was kind of cool. I like that better than waving to scroll and swipe and stuff. That, no. You feel goofy doing it. It's not natural. You have to wave your arm a lot more than you think you should.
And it's more effort, isn't it? It's a massive.
It absolutely was. It's like, why am I
a little tap on the screen?
I will use my dirty thumb, you know, put it on the screen and wipe it off later. That's less effort than going like this and, you know, whacking somebody in the head sitting next to me.
But if your nails are wet, I mean, I learned that from the
stop it. No, look, and I get what they were saying, right? Because there have been times where, like, my hand is wet or something, and I need to get a phone. I mean, it's kind of a dumb use case, but I get it. It happens. I think the bigger thing is using gloves, especially for people up north, and that's one I admittedly take for granted because I don't even know what snow is. But that's a big deal that you can use it with gloves. What else? I really want to see the camera on this thing. I mean, Samsung's always had really good cameras. And
they've had good cameras, but they've never really made a fuss about it. They've always left it up to reviewers to find out how good the camera is, and they've just said, okay, it's a 13 megapixel camera, and left it at that.
And so the camera app has gotten
interesting.
The camera app has gotten even better. They've refined it. They've borrowed from the Galaxy Camera application in Gallery, and it's really good. I really want to spend some more time with that. You know, just in the, you know, hour we had to play with it, just doesn't do it justice. I do want to talk briefly about the CyanogenMod thing this week because, Jesus, people totally misunderstood that. you know, some of the people who developed some of the other Samsung devices with CyanogenMod said, hey, we're not going to do it for the Galaxy S4, but not to, I mean, look, they don't speak for CM. right? I don't think our post said they speak for CM. I think people misread it. I think we probably could have done the headline a little bit better. But if you actually read the post, which a lot of people who emailed me didn't actually do, they said, well, I didn't read it, but, well, stop. I don't care. No, I mean, these guys spoke out of school and, you know, it hit the fan and it happens. But no, there will be CyanogenMod for the Galaxy S4. Anybody who thinks differently is, you know, that's just crazy. It's too big a phone. So everybody relax. I do want to talk about the two different kinds of this. So there's going to be one with Exynos and one with a Snapdragon 600. And that's actually where some of the confusion came in, right, Jerry?
Well, yeah, I don't
want you to wade into the drama.
But yes, that was part of it. And the Exynos, nobody's happy with the open source aspect.
Okay,
and nobody wants to maintain two devices, and it goes from there.
Do we know of any regions that are actually getting the Exynos right now?
Because there's a list of kind of an unofficial estimated list. Right. It basically looks like anywhere in the West that has LTE is getting the Snapdragon version.
All right, hang on. There's somebody
that's a big portion of the CM audience.
If people are flying off the handle. But that's a good thing. The devil you know, people.
And there's somebody in the chat room saying there's so much lag on the S4, I cringe every time I see it. Stop. Stop right now. What you have seen is not finished hardware. Not finished software. I'm running out of ways to say that. You have not seen the finished device. So shut the hell up. That's right. I went there. I'm tired of seeing that. It's laggy. It's not finished software. You know what? The kernel build, you know, they usually put dates on the kernel builds, right? So I'm sitting there in New York on March 14th. You know what the kernel build said? March 14th. Yeah, like they did it that morning. It's not finished by any stretch of the imagination. So I mean, it was pretty obvious. So, Jesus, I mean, people need to relax a little and let them finish this stuff. And that's why I almost kind of hate it when we get these preview looks at things. Because on one hand, it's, you know, hey, cool, we get to see it. We get to tell you about it. It's not quite done yet. So take it with a little grain of salt. But, great. So, Phil, I hear there's some GS4 lag. Do I have to blur that now, too? Anyway,
Alex said what I was thinking. The HTC One doesn't have any lag.
Not a bit of lag in the HTC One whatsoever.
And I've got pre-release software. So what do you say about that, Phil? Yell at us.
God, you guys are such HTC fanboys. That's all you ever write about is HTC.
No, you know what? We need to talk about that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Because I got this huge, gigantic, unreadable, too long, didn't read thing sent to me in Google Plus.
Oh, you didn't send it to me.
Concerned me and Alex.
Yeah.
And Alex, you're lucky. He spelled your name wrong, I think. You have to see it.
Alex
is a Samsung fanboy. Jerry is an HTC fanboy. And that means that we can never be objective.
What am I?
Now, I can't speak for Alex, but I am a fanboy of well-done software. I don't care who does it. I love Samsung phones. They do a lot of things that piss me off because I love them so much. And I think Alex probably feels the same way about HTC. He wants great stuff from great companies.
Yep. No, we go through this every year, right? HTC puts their stuff out in the beginning of the year, Samsung a couple months later. It happens every time. Oh, you're writing about his HTC. Because we have the phone. Because it exists. Why aren't you writing about the X phone? There is no X phone. Haven't seen it. Soon as somebody hands me one and says, tell us about this, tell us what you think, I will write about it till the cows come home. But right now, this is what we have. And pretty soon we'll have the Galaxy S4 and we'll do more posts about that and make everybody sick about it. But we go through this every year. We went through it last year.
Yep.
How come you wrote so many Galaxy S3 stories? Because I flew to London for 36 hours. I didn't go over there to not write anything. That'd be kind of dumb. Honestly, man, you think I pissed people off 2 weeks ago with that podcast? They're going to love this one. How about
that? It's a pretty angry podcast.
No, it's really not. That's the thing. It didn't start out that way anyway. Anything else Galaxy S4 we need to talk about?
Just the chips. I mean, the common misconception is a lot of sort of wringing of hands over the fact that it's gone from being an 8-core to a 4-core. But
I'm so not worried about that. Yeah, I'm so not worried about that.
It's this. Essentially, the 8-core version is two quad-core chips, one low power, one high power, and it switches between the two on the fly. So you only ever get four at a time. That's the way it works, and it does that for power management reasons.
And when it switches, nothing gets processed. So if it takes more than 20 or 30 microseconds to switch, your phone will lag.
Right.
So don't wish for something until you've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people are singing the praises of this chip when we haven't used it in any shipping device yet. So
exactly.
Let's wait and see.
I'm not even going there. We need to talk about everything Google has done in the past, like, 2 days. actually, it was funny. I was in New York for the thing last week, and suddenly my email just starts blowing. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like, Google's killing Google Reader. Huh. And on one hand, that's bad. Like, the bloggers, I hate to say bloggers, because that really sounds disparaging, and I don't mean it to be. Anyone who has to follow a whole lot of news at one time, Google Reader has been the best way to do it, right? It's an RSS aggregator, feed reader, whatever. And because it's Google, it's all synced to your Google stuff, so you get it wherever, right? And they're going to kill it. Come July 1st, it's gone. I don't know why. I hesitate to say it's because nobody's using it. I mean, from a consumer standpoint, I get that. I mean, it's not like my mom is using Google Reader. It's not like my wife is using it. You know, it's nerds who need to follow a lot of the latest whatever at one time. The bigger deal is, and it's not like you can't export this stuff, right? I've got all my feeds. It's sitting in an XML file. The catch is you just need some place that like syncs it in real time like Google Reader does, right? So I have a feeling somebody's going to step up. I don't think Google's going to give it a reprieve. I don't think they're going to save it, which sucks. Because, you know, we depend on it for a lot of stuff, but, you know, that's life. I really have not, you know, I finally saw some posts come out today, I think, saying that just because Google's killing Google Reader doesn't mean you shouldn't trust a Google service ever. That's such a short-sighted, but knee-jerk reaction.
Dude.
What?
I'm going back to Hotmail and ICQ. Maybe Yahoo Chat will open back up because I can't trust Google.
We should do this podcast over ICQ. That'd be pretty interesting.
We really should. I'm not sure I'm allowed on ICQ or on IRC. Said ICQ. That's like really old school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. No. I mean, they're killing it. It sucks, and we're going to have to find something else to use, but I don't think...
There's no shortage of people who've stepped in and said, look, we're gonna take over from Google Reader. People can import their stuff and use our service. And
right.
Feedly, I think a few others have done that.
I think writing off the chance that Google's going to develop or improve an existing service to give us our RSS aggregator back is a little early.
Everybody keeps saying, well, it'll show up in Google Plus, but that's not really the same thing at all.
Right, but... I you know, what about Google Currents? Yes, it's different. Yes, it's flipboardy and really visual. But if you want to sync it with your Google Reader feeds, it can already import an RSS feed. You can't do it standalone. You have to do it through Google Reader. But the function to read RSS feeds is built into it. Why couldn't they build that out?
GK Smith in the chat asked, the question is, what will be the next in the chopping block? I want to check out Google Keep, but how long will it last? Phil, you can say it's short-sighted, but I think it's a legitimate concern. We're talking about something I use all day, every day. Yes, we are. But you know what? You can live your life saying, oh my God, is this going to die? Or you can use it, and if it's gone, it's gone. I mean, that's life. You're not paying for this stuff. How much were you paying for Google Reader? Jerry, how much were you paying?
I pay with information and data about me, and I do it gladly.
Right, exactly.
Doesn't cost me a penny.
So, I mean, obviously, I mean, it's the way of the world. You know, if you need something to rely on, either do it yourself or pay for it. Right. I mean, and even paying for it doesn't mean it's not going to go away, but at least there's a lesser chance that it's going to disappear. That's why a lot of what we do. You know, and you're depending on somebody else to give you this service, and you're not. You know, they're not getting anything out of it.
But I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves comparing Keep to Google Reader.
Well, back up. What is Google Keep?
A pretty UI for the Google Drive API. Right. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is. So Google Keep is a note-taking service, right? basically.
That puts notes into your Google Drive account.
Yeah. And makes them look like notes.
Yep. I mean,
you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't turn me into a note taker. I've never been a note taker. I was horrible in school. I don't take notes. I just can't do it. You know, and this isn't going to make me do it any better. Just the way it is.
I tried. I mean, it was a couple years ago. Mickey talked me into giving Evernote a try because I needed to remember what size my air conditioner filter.
Oh God, I've watched Kevin. Yeah.
Evernote for me is huge overkill. You know, for a lot of people, it's not. A lot of people need that search capability and the annotation and all the other great stuff. Keep isn't trying to do anything like that. Keep is trying to be able for me to pick up my phone and say, I parked in lot A7 and put my phone back in my pocket. Right. And then I have a note that tells me where I parked so I don't forget. That kind of stuff I can get into, and I'm going to start trying it a little more now.
There's some talk in the chat about Keep potentially replacing Google Tasks and Gmail Tasks, which never know what's going to be spring clean next or if Google even plans on doing that. But for me, Keep is something that plugs into one of Google's big services that are pushing, Google Drive. Tasks is something that was kind of tagged onto Gmail. There's never been an official client for Android for it, and it's just sort of been sitting there for quite a few years. So maybe that could be the direction it's going in. But if it is, hopefully Keep will be a bit more open than that, and that's still be a better way to handle it on Android.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's just another service. We'll see.
Yeah.
To me. So speaking of Google Currents, it got audio playback, which is kind of cool. And I tell you what's really cool is they announced, hey, we just updated the app. It's got audio playback. So if there's an audio stream in your edition, you will have now controls to control it, right? And it took about 30 seconds for me to add the Android Central podcast to our Google Currents feed. So it's there now. So you can go and there's a podcast section and you can listen to the podcast directly in Google Currents. And it was, you know, updated just like that. Pretty cool. It's awesome. Gmail updated. So you can now, if you have Jelly Bean it up, you can archive directly from the notification bar. That's cool. Works okay. I'd still want a delete option because I get so much crap, but that's me. And again, it's all about me.
Well, it depends on what you have Gmail set to do.
Oh, does it?
It's, yeah.
Okay. So it's like the swipe settings. You can either archive or delete. Okay, cool. Google Flight Search is in Europe. That's a big deal for Europe. Again, I don't use it because it's about me. Just saying.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's no shortage of sites that already do that, but it's nice to see that with a very clean Google UI. They've got maps built into it, which is nice to see.
Alex, tell me about this 3D puzzle thing. You wrote that up today, and I haven't had time to look. I mean, the other post, every post I saw was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. What is it?
It's a cool little gimmick. It's one of the Chrome experiments, which are these kind of, that's what the name suggests. They're experiments designed to show what HTML5 and JavaScript, all this other stuff in a modern browser can do. So this maze thing, which is called the Worldwide Maze, you start off by syncing the phone and your desktop browser. So you plug in a code, you use TabSync or whatever. Then you direct it to a web page, and it goes through, crunches up the images, turns them into like a monkey ball style 3D maze, sticks all the images together, all the different areas. So it's all over the place in this three-dimensional space. And then what it does, it uses the touch controls on your phone and the accelerometer. So you use that like a gamepad, tilting it around. And then it moves this ball around through this maze that's made up of the web page that you put in. And that is what it does. And it's pretty cool. It's all done through HTML. There's obviously some stuff behind the scenes, so you can connect the phone through some server to the web browser. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's impressive. Which is what it's designed to do. It's designed to show by doing something completely crazy that this kind of stuff is possible through the web. It's good.
It works with any website?
You have to, probably not any website. You have to do a keyword search to get a website to bring up. So you probably could just enter in the old URL.
Did you try the keyword porn? Tell the truth.
I did not.
I was going to say,
you know, I'll let you know if it works later. Porn monkey ball. Hey, come on. It's got to be done.
What could go wrong? What else could Google do? No, that's kind of the cool stuff, I think. What else? Android 4.0.
Talk about Andy Rubin.
Yeah, people are talking about that.
All right. So Rubin, that was the other thing that happened while I was in New York. It's like, did I miss anything? I was on a plane. Oh, yeah, Andy Rubin's leaving. I don't know what to say. You've read The Verge did a big expose on why he left. I'm not really sure that answered it. I mean, the conservative in me says people leave jobs all the time. After you do them for a while, you want to do something else. And I'm willing to bet Google's a really cool company with a lot of cool stuff going on. And, you know, Google or Android is not one person, right? I mean, it hasn't been one person for a long time. It's not going to fall apart. You know, dude running Google Chrome has been on stage at I.O. for, you know, minutes and minutes and hours, it seems. I think it's probably in good hands. I have no idea if this is a managerial move or if he was just done or what. I mean, I don't know. I don't work there unless you do. And I haven't seen anybody really write anything that explains what's going on.
Well, that letter he sent to partners that leaked out,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's closest to the mark where he said he's an entrepreneur at heart. And right. He didn't come right out and say it, but Android's finished. They don't need Andy Rubin anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
Andy Rubin is staying in Google to build the next big kick-ass.
Yeah. Right. It's built, right? They're piling onto it now. It's, you know, the hard work, it's probably done. I mean, that's not to say Android's not going to grow and it's not important for it to, but it's a different level of building process, right? And, you know, I hesitate to speculate with stuff like that because you just don't know unless you know. And I haven't read anything that convinces me otherwise.
And I'm sure from the moment Google bought Android that Andy Rubin was no longer the deciding factor in the direction it's going to go.
Right.
So we probably won't see any difference. You know, it's not like we're going to say in a year, oh, if only Andy Rubin was still here.
And if we did, we'd have no idea if that was true anyway. I mean, you know, you can't pin any decisions down a product as large and as complex as Android to one single person. Not if you're outside of Google anyway.
So that's, I think, about the big news. Oh, NVIDIA rolled out their new roadmap for the stuff beyond Tegra 4. So we got some new code names, which is kind of, I love how NVIDIA does this. So there's no real surprise. So like in a year when somebody says, hey, guess what? The next thing just leaked out and we're going to say no because it was released on March 19th and here's the slide. So, I mean, Logan is the next big code name. It'll have a Kepler GPU. They have CUDA and CUDA is an old school name in computing, right, Jerry? This is what were you calling it? It's called?
It's basically computing in using your GPU.
Right. So instead of using your processor to do all the processing, your CPU uses the graphics processor to offload some of that work when it's not doing anything else, right?
Yep.
Cool. Pretty simple.
Yep, and it can make it that's what they do with all, you know, the supercomputers you hear about at CERN and stuff. Mm. Those are all using GPUs to boost the computing power. So to see that work down to mobile.
Right now, we're at Tegra 4. You know, we've had other code names, Wayne Gray, which is where we are now. And by the way, these are all, you know, comic book carriers, right? Our characters. So next is Logan, you know, Wolverine, Parker, you know, Spider-Man comes after that in 2015. So I like how they give us these code names. And so there's no speculation and it's just out there. And, you know, and frankly, it's good for NVIDIA, I think, that people are talking about this stuff already, right?
And you know, it's not just NVIDIA that already knows what they're doing in 2015.
Yeah.
It's just NVIDIA is going to tell us.
Right.
That, I think that's cool. I would love to see Qualcomm and Samsung step up and do the same thing.
Yeah. All right. We need to move on. We got emails and voicemails I want to get to because we've been remiss in doing those the past couple of weeks. And frankly, I want to end this podcast on a good note since I dropped a couple, you know, dirty words and maybe a couple of middle fingers that I probably shouldn't have. So why don't we start off with Jason?
Hi, my name is Jason Miller. I had two questions basically for tonight. I was wondering if you guys would, you know, offer some level-headed consideration of the, you know, the third Galaxy S4, HTC One, and Nexus Anything debate. And maybe offer some understanding of what Android is and what it is not to some of your fans at the site. And then I want to know also, do you guys actually believe any of the same disappointment that the Galaxy S4 might have more to do with people's desire to have something new looking to show their friends, and maybe the design of the S4 isn't providing that shiny newness that they need for that purpose, or whether it's them actually being, you know, truly disappointed in the device itself? I mean, it's bigger, badder, better, faster, and slightly better looking than the S3 with more battery and a better camera. So what, you know, what's really wrong there? That's pretty much all I had to ask. So, enjoy the podcast, and hopefully I'll be able to catch it in time tonight.
I think shiny newness has long since given way to Samsung's massive marketing budget.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, people ask why we don't, especially me, why I don't get all excited about rumors and hype beasting, they call it, and just all these posts about crap you don't necessarily know. And that's why. I think it creates unrealistic expectations. And then when it actually comes out, you're either bored, or what you thought was coming is so wrong, you're disappointed. I would prefer to be excited about what's in my hand here than, you know, sit there and look, yeah, that's it. You know, I flew all the way up here for this. I mean, that's just dumb. I think you need to have a better mindset going into this stuff and to be able to, you know, appreciate it a little more.
Oh, yeah, it's a completely different phone that kind of looks
it
like
really
the
is.
Other ones.
It really is.
You know, it's going to sell in, you know, obscene amounts. People are going to buy it. People are going to love it. And, you know, it's going to be no disappointment unless people want it to be a disappointment, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is yet to should I buy a GS4 if I have a GS3. I'm leaning toward no, just after my, you know, hour or two of playing with this thing. You know, I need some actual real use time to to see. I'm leaning toward no. The GS3 was a really good phone. It still is a really good phone. I need to unbrick mine now that I mention it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be getting some of the features of the
absolutely.
The S4. Probably
absolutely.
Not all of them, but it's going to, I'd imagine that some of the stuff that you thought might not be on there for hardware reasons, they're probably going to find a way to make it happen, just like they did with the original Note, getting some Note 2 features.
Yeah, I agree. And again, the Note 3, I think, is going to suck in a lot of the features of the Optimus G Pro that we've seen. I think it's going to be really good toward the end of the year, too. So, there's a lot of good stuff coming. I really hate people to say, you know, it's like when the iPhone 5 came in, it's boring. No, it's not. The iPhone 5 was not boring by any stretch of the imagination. Just because you're bored doesn't mean something's boring. level-headed discussion about the two phones. I think there's absolutely a place for each device. I like the HTC One a lot. I'm not convinced it's the phone for me. I think Anand Shimpy from Anand Tech did a really good post today. Brian Klug's doing their full review, but Anand, you know, wrote something today, and I agree with just about everything he said. Like, it's a really good phone. Some of the design aspects are not for him, and that's okay. It's okay to have both. It's good to have all the. It's a good problem to have, whether you get the HTC One or the Galaxy S3. That's my take.
And that's going to be a tough choice, and we're going to have to address that question at some point, and it's going to be tricky for us, I think.
It's going to be a hard call, and you know, we get yelled at for not making that call, but I'm not sure you can just flat out say one is better than the other. They are very different.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now, recommending one at the expense of the other completely is probably going to be a disservice to the other device.
Exactly. There's too much really good stuff going on. I mean, if you like get me drunk and give me $20, I'll tell you something.
I thought that was going somewhere else completely.
All right, let's move on. Next we have Fernando is back.
Hey guys, this is Fernando again. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast, and I have a little conspiracy theory about Samsung. After the event, I think Samsung in a few years, maybe for the Galaxy S6 or 7, I think they're going to ditch Android and go with their own OS, Tizen, or something like that, because in the event, they didn't mention anything about Google or Android. And also, they are using their own service apps instead of Google's apps, like S-Translate and some other things, you know. And I think in the future, they're going to abandon Android. They're going to put a UI skin on top of Tizen, a little like TouchWiz, and they're going to ditch Android. And all they're doing is, the marketing, all they're doing is luring people into their services and back-end. And in the future, they're going to abandon Android. You watch. And then they're going to make their own navigation app and all that. They have the money to do that. So I think so. Call me crazy, but I think that's going to happen in a few years. What do you guys think about it? Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, but, I mean, here's the thing.
No way in hell they're going to dump the Android model to go to Tizen on their high-end phones.
Yeah.
They may dump Google, but they're not going to dump Android.
And there's a difference there.
All that free R&D? Come on, people. I've not used Tizen. I don't think anybody really has. But I've used Mego, which Tizen is an extension of. I'll use the word extension. And while I loved Mego, it sucked when you want to install apps or actually do anything with it, and nobody's trying to make it any better.
Samsung, on the other hand, right
has sites like XDA. Sorry, Alex, I'll shut up.
I think Samsung gains nothing right now by crossing Google or trying to squeeze Google out of the picture on the Galaxy S line. They don't gain any extra money. They don't make their products better. There's nothing in it for them. Until there is, they're not going to do it. Maybe, I mean, who knows? Who can tell what's going to happen? Things move so quickly in 5-6 years down the line. Maybe something will come up to make that happen. Right now, there's nothing to suggest that Samsung would want to do that.
Well, and
they don't gain anything by having their own OS on that because they can already do pretty much anything they want on Android.
I've been thinking about this a lot the past week, and there are a lot of stories that Samsung didn't say Android during the presentation last week in New York. And actually, I was wrong. I had to go back and look at it again, and I've watched it. I don't know how many times I've watched it now, but no, they didn't actually say Android. But you know what? They didn't have to.
Yeah.
The Galaxy line is synonymous with Android now. I mean, it is completely synonymous with Android. It is Galaxy's Android. Android is Galaxy. And here's the bigger thing. They might have their own map application, but they don't. You know, they bought or licensed a lot of applications. They don't have their own keyboard. That's SwiftKey powering that thing, and that's actually officially official now. You know, SwiftKey's finally allowed to talk about it. And that's just, you know, that's the tip of the iceberg. You know, TripAdvisor's in there. Oh God, I'm trying to remember the other apps. I mean, there were a lot of apps tied into TouchWiz. They're not Samsung developed apps, right? But here's the bigger thing. Where are you going to download apps from? Samsung doesn't have an app store.
They have an app store.
Well, I mean, the problem is you got to get the developers.
See, it's got to get a lot better. You didn't even pay any attention to it. So
I
mean, if Samsung doesn't care about Android, then they could very easily have not gone to the trouble of putting 4.2.2 on there.
Right.
They did that for a reason. You know, there's nothing particularly in there that benefits them from if they want to build a Samsung phone.
They did that so they could say they did that. I care less about what they said at that event than I care in whatever marketing they do in the next 6 months. That event was one night, no matter how many stories have been written about it afterwards for whatever reason. You know, that was one launch event, and everybody's going to forget about it. It's the marketing that they do on TVs and in newspapers and online in the next 6 months that's really going to matter. That's the big differentiator.
Every damn box will have a green robot on it, I promise you.
Yeah, it has to.
And quite frankly, I mean, talk about what they might do. I am a firm believer that they'll fork off. I said that a year ago, and everybody laughed at me. I really think they'll do that, but we're not going to see that anytime soon.
And that's not the end of the world. Yeah. It's still running Android, even if they do that, right? Even if they get rid of Google Play and the Google services.
Yeah,
right, like Amazon. Yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you have to have Google Play, and at which point you'll go and find another device. I get that.
Yep.
But, you know, that's not necessary. And again, this is what Android was built to do. If you don't think Google didn't see that that was a possibility, then, I mean, if Google didn't see that was a possibility, then, you know, they're idiots. And they're not idiots. I mean, of course it was always a possibility, right? But AOSP is out there for a reason. There's a reason they open sourced this entire project. And not just, you know, not just to say we're open. but really for this sort of thing to happen. And yes, you know, Samsung can rise up and take control of it. That's the way it works. And that's a good thing. That's only going to push, I think, Google to do even better on its end and with other partners that are, you know, still on the reservation. I'm not worried about it. I'm really not.
Me neither. It's foolish, I think, to think of it at this point.
All right, let's move on and do Jacob's voicemail.
Hello, I'm Jacob Milford, and I have a question for a podcast about the Nexus 4. I was wondering, what's the best thing you guys like about it? And I heard on podcast 124, you guys were generous. You said that you're going to give some out, generously asking if you could hand one out to be a sweetheart. Thank you, and this is for the next podcast, if you can send it out there. Thank you.
I'm not sure anyone's going to accuse me of being a sweetheart after this podcast. My favorite thing about the Nexus 4, for me, this is probably the best fitting Nexus that I've had, I think, since the Nexus 1. Like, I mean, for the size and what it is, it fits my hand really well. I really like the rubber edges. I think that grip works. And obviously, I mean, stock Android for me works the best, I think. We've talked about that a number of times. But I think just the overall design and fit of this has really been done nicely. I talked to LG about that in Spain last month. I think they did a really good job on that. Alex, what do you think is the best thing?
I would have to go with the software, I think. A combination of the software and the speed. They did a really good job getting at the time what was the fastest chip in there. Mm-hmm. And backing it up with really, really fluid software.
Jerry?
I mean, that's not too good.
Nope.
Fast boot OEM unlock, and here's the factory image if you F things all up.
Yes.
That is priceless to me, and I will always choose a Nexus phone. That doesn't mean I don't like other ones, though.
Right. I agree. Okay, let's go on to John Paul is back.
Hey, guys, this is Jean-Christine Paul on the forum, calling for the Android Central podcast. Oh, I got a question for you guys. I finally got a card dock for my Galaxy Nexus. I got the iBolt Pro Dock Illumina. I got it from a website. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, called shopandroid.com. Good stuff. Anyway, that's not the point. I was wondering, now that I have a car dock, I was wondering about, like car dock, car home type apps, since it's a, you know, Galaxy Nexus Pure AFOP. Actually, I'm running a Cyanogen mod on it. There's no car dock app. I searched on the Play Store. I didn't find anything that immediately caught my eye. I was wondering what you guys are using in your cars, if you're, on your Nexus devices. Anyway, I'd love to get thoughts. Keep up the good work. I'm always enjoying the site. I always enjoying the podcast. All right, thanks. Bye.
Car Home Ultra.
Phil, did you pay him to call this in?
I did not.
We had this discussion, if you remember.
Car Home Ultra. That's the one everybody uses. Everyone suggests. I was talking to Brian Klug from Anontech. You know, we all keep like scrambling to get Brian on the podcast because he's so awesome. Dude is so smart. But he's reviewing the Parrot. That giant doubled in Parrot deck. I was like, dude, hurry the hell up because I want to read this and see if I need to buy it because I'm not, you know, reviewing one just for the sake of reviewing that one. It's crazy. I really want to hear his take on it. So, no, Car Home Ultra, you know, so customizable. That's me.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. Now, there are some issues with Car Home apps.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer can map to the actual home and back as a home replacement while they're docked. So if you use the Car Home application for an older phone, like I used to use one on the Evo 4G, they work a little bit differently now. So take a few minutes to learn how it works before you start the car and start driving.
Yeah. Sorry. That's actually one of the car dock manufacturers, which I will remain nameless, emailed us about that, unhappy about it. But, I mean, I get why they did it, even if it kind of sucks for them. Sorry.
Yeah, catch 22. You have to universalize things a little more, and that means that old things have to change.
Yep. All right, finally, last voicemail. And this, I need to set this one up a little bit. A couple weeks ago, it's probably about a month ago, I said, we want women, we need more girls calling in, because I know you're out there and I know you're listening and you're awesome and we want to hear from you. And so we got one voicemail from Bossy Texas Chick, and she talked for like 3 minutes about the HTC One. And so I emailed her today, because it's been so long, and I emailed her back today. And I said, look, if you want to send in another voicemail, and I want to see if your opinion's changed. And, you know, it's been a few weeks. So this is Bossy Texas Chick, Carol, and here's her voicemail, her new one.
Hey, Phil, it's Carol, better known as Bossy Texas Chick. Thanks so much for your email. And yes, I was watching to see when y'all would get caught up. I'm glad you finally did. As far as my thoughts on the HTC One, no, it hasn't improved any, my opinion of it. It's actually gotten worse, because now that I see the SGS4, and yes, they did keep the form factor similar, but as on another site, they pointed out that it already was pretty close to the bar that they didn't have to redo everything, whereas a lot of the other phones had to play catch up. So I'm on board with that. For the HTC One, I'm still disappointed that it doesn't have wireless charging, that it doesn't have removable storage. The camera, I don't know, the jury's still out on that, but I'm not too impressed with what I've seen so far. And the price, because I know it's probably going to be like $899, and I buy my phones off contract. I don't know if I said about the fact that it's only a 4.7-inch screen. Yes, it's 1920 by 1080, but for pictures, I like it a little bit bigger. But I don't know. So that's pretty much it. I'd have to say a big no on that. And what also makes me maddest about the HTC One is how everybody is criticizing the SGS4 in favor of the One. And I just don't get it. But anyway, if you have any more questions about that, you can tell. I'll be glad to answer them. Thanks for writing me back, and y'all take care. Bye now.
I wouldn't say everyone. I think half the people. I mean, there are very much these two factions out there right now. There's the HTC One side, and there is the Galaxy S4 side.
And both sides have never touched either device. That's what kills me.
There is that.
Make your decision after you look at it.
I'm not even sure that's going to matter. I mean, that's
probably not.
You know what? I mean, it's okay to be a fan of a device, I think.
Sure.
A little bit of fanboyism is not a bad thing, but try
Alex
the other
and I are
one.
Fanboys.
Yeah.
Apparently. No.
Go out and try it. That's Huawei for life, yo, says Renee in the chat room. No, I mean, go out and try them. Look, I miss wireless charging on the HTC One. I mean, going from the Nexus 4 and putting it down on the other side of my bedroom, away from my head, where I'm not tempted to like roll over and look at email at 3 a.m. That's a good thing. And just being able to pick it up off it, I like that. That's good. I'm okay with an internal battery and with internal storage. I'm fine with that. For a number of reasons, actually. And one of them was because filling up the 64-gigabyte card that I put into the Galaxy S3 was kind of a pain, right? It's not necessarily easy to do. Like, I mean, it's not tough, but it takes time. It's a pain in the butt. And that's okay, too. I mean, you're allowed to have different opinions about this stuff. It's not a zero-sum game. And, you know, that's my take. You notice how much more calm I am right now? I'm very chill. Just saying.
It won't last.
Nah. What do you guys think? Nothing? Really?
I think whatever your preference is between these, I mean, they're two very good phones. Whatever your own personal preference is, you're not going to get anywhere by trashing the other one. It's not like, it's the same way when people come out in favor of Android and then it's, you know, suddenly they like to trash the iPhone. You can't say the iPhone's a bad device. You know, Apple didn't get where they are by making crap. So
there you go. Why does what I like matter to what you like?
Well, I mean, yeah. I get that people are going to give us crap because we're putting this out there. You know, we're putting ourselves out there publicly. And on one hand, I like it when we're neutral and we can try to explain things. But we're allowed to have opinions about things, too, I think. And we should.
So let's have one, Phil. I mean, yes. You've actually held both You like the Galaxy S4 a little better, you think, right?
I think as a daily phone, there are going to be parts about it. And remember, I was the guy who I didn't like the, you know, I still don't like the idea of the menu button, right? Or necessarily a physical home button, but I can work with them. And I think they work better for me than, especially with the button setup of the One, right? I think those work better for me. I think the overall design works a little better for me, even though the industrial design of the HTC One is friggin' awesome. It's really, really good. But I think the button setup and ease of use for me just isn't quite there. I like the camera. I think the camera's working pretty well for me. I like the idea of highlights, you know. I have kids that I'm always trying to, you know, share things with family and stuff, and highlights make it relatively easy. They've got a little work to do in the software, but yeah, I mean, they're bits and pieces of each phone. And I have this awesome job where I get to, you know, use a phone for, you know, 3 to 6 months or whatever and actually experience it and make it my main phone and then switch to the next awesome one. So when I hesitate to pick a phone, that's why, because I see the good parts about all of them, and I'm, you know, usually not plopping down my own money on these things. And look, let's be honest, that makes a difference, right? I'm not putting I'm not putting money on the line for these things. I'm putting time and brain power, but that's not quite the, I get that that's not quite the same. There's a lot to like in the HTC One. There's a lot to like. There are some features that are going to be deal breakers for folks, and that's okay too. You know, you're going to have to compromise some, but you have to decide on what it is you want to compromise on. And if, you know, a removable battery and removable storage, you know, if you don't want to compromise on those, cool. Then don't compromise on those. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
There's my answer. Did that help at all?
And I'm sure Alex and I will get a chance to play with the, you know, Galaxy S4, and we'll have a choice too. But I hope that we don't get into a slugging match out in the smartphone that's in the parking lot.
You know, yeah, I mean, people get a little silly about it, and that's, you know, it's fun. I get that. It's okay, but yeah, I mean, everybody needs to relax a little bit. And again, like the whole plastic versus metal thing. It's like the great, you know, taste great, less filling ads of the 80s. Mm. God, most of you don't remember that.
I still think the best phone made that Jerry likes to hold in his hand is made of plastic.
Which one?
The 1X.
Yeah, really?
Yep, the 1X just, it had the shape and the feel of the Nexus S. And it wasn't quite as slow and janky. I just love it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When you talk about metal versus plastic, I already have a scratch on this HTC One.
Oh, did you? Somebody was asking me about that today, actually. And mine.
Yeah, a tiny, tiny, tiny one right by the one of the dots in the speaker up top.
Mine is okay so far. And I haven't been, like, totally babying it. And, you know, my Nexus 4 is
and,
still
relatively okay. I mean, I never do when I review stuff.
Right.
What's the point?
They're not our phones. What do we care, right?
Yep.
No, I mean, and I think the Nexus 4 I've been a little more careful with, but this is the same one I've been using since November, and I mean, I've got some scratches on it, but I haven't cracked it. I haven't broken it like other people have, so.
Watch the marble.
I know. Every time I say that, I put it down very gently, because I figured as soon as I say that, we're done. All right, I've got 4 emails lined up, and then we're getting out of here, because we're running long, but I wanted to catch up on all this really good stuff, and those were excellent voicemails. And by the way, ladies, I know you're out there. I want your voicemails. Send them. I want to hear from you. Absolutely.
Holler, girl.
Yes, what Jerry said. All right, Chris writes, I will be switching from Sprint to Verizon in August, finally. My question is, should I be concerned that it seems that Verizon is not getting certain flagship phones recently? I'm thinking about holding out for a new Nexus phone, or better yet, a phablet, but I'm concerned that they're not going to get the next one. What do you all think? If you haven't noticed, I've had to be careful about what I say, and I'm kind of running out of ways to say this, so I'll just say this. Verizon didn't get the HTC One X, and then I've written this already. Verizon, you know, did not get the HTC One X, right? When it was first announced, you know, whatever. Things turned out okay for Verizon. They got the DNA. DNA was a really good phone. I think Verizon will get some really good stuff from HTC. I mean, what else hasn't Verizon gotten? I mean, I think we're forgetting that, you know, the DNA is all of like 4 months old now. But, I mean, that's a flagship phone to me, I think. Yeah,
and they're not going to replace it 2 months out.
Yeah, I mean, even if it came, you know, right before the HTC One was announced, they're very similar phones. And I think we'll probably get, if not all of Sense 5, I think you'll probably get, like, everything but some of the camera stuff, which is dependent on the Image Sense 2, Image Chip 2. But I think you're going to get a lot of that UI stuff, and maybe even Blink Feed. So,
I mean, in his email, he specifically mentions the Nexus device.
No.
Yeah, that's probably
not. And Verizon will get a Nexus when it can make Verizon money.
Right.
That's the deal. There is no this hatred that everybody likes to think between Google and Verizon about Nexus phones. I don't think it exists. I've talked to some people who lead me to believe that that's just something bloggers invented.
Probably,
and
yeah.
When Verizon can find it profitable, they'll jump on it.
I agree. Peter writes, I have a Nexus 4 in the back. It's cracked. I have no idea how or when. Do you know where I can get a replacement back like Alex did? Well, I guess that depends.
eBay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, how'd you swap it out? Did you do it or did you pay somebody to do it?
No, I did it. It's really? It's relatively easy. Yeah. You need a check this online because I'm not sure if it's exactly right. I think it's a Torx T5 screwdriver to get the screws out. All you do is you take the SIM tray out.
It's either a 5 or 3.
Take the screws out.
And I didn't get a post out of this.
I did off. Sorry?
I didn't get a post out of this from you.
We don't. So we can tear down guides.
No.
I mean, there are plenty of much better guides how to take this thing apart than I would have done. That's not what we do here, really. But take the screws out, take the SIM tray out, prise the back off, and swap it out. And that's easy enough to do.
Fine. All right, my throat's really starting to go. One of you guys finish off the other two.
Michael writes, hey, AC team. In all caps. Do you think Google I/O at Google I/O that will show up a new 10-inch tablet?
Ooh.
I think no.
It's really
it'll be a new something tablet, but not a 10-inch. I think it'll probably be I mean, there've been rumors for a while of replacing for the Nexus 7. That would probably make sense, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to agree. I don't think we're gonna see anything new in the 10-inch space.
Okay, I agree.
Here we go.
I'm on record.
Last All right, one. Let me read the last one then. Carlos from Venezuela writes in, I wanted to know, since I'm a Samsung Galaxy S3 owner of the international model, I was wondering, in your opinion, is it really worth it to spend a huge amount of dollars on the GS4?
See, that's the tough one. Huge amount of dollars, probably not, unless you have to have the latest and greatest. Little bit of dollars, maybe. You know, if you're coming from like a Galaxy S2, yeah, I would absolutely upgrade, if only for the form factor. But coming from a GS3, I hate to hedge on that. I mean, my gut reaction right now, after having used it last week, is no. I reserve the right to change my mind on that. Sorry,
I think it depends. Wait until somebody actually has one. Read all the reviews online, not just ours. Read them all.
Mm-hmm.
Watch all the videos. Talk to everybody you know. And if it has features that you just can't live without, and Samsung says they aren't coming to your phone, then spend your money. If not, keep what you've got and be happy.
Right.
And see how much you can get for that international S3.
Well, then there's that.
Yeah. That might make up a fair bit of the cost towards an S4.
Yeah.
Yep.
That, boys and girls, I think is going to do it. That was kind of quite the podcast. An hour and a half, man. I cursed twice, flipped a couple birds. Should I apologize for that or no? Can't decide.
No.
No.
YOLO, baby.
You know, I will apologize for maybe last week. Somebody thought I was really out of line in saying something in that one we did before I went to New York. And honestly, I don't remember what I said and what I was mad about. But if I offended you, I'm sorry. I don't remember. Do you remember, Jerry?
Yes, vividly. You said everybody sucked. They were all... You hate this. You hate everyone. No, you didn't say anything like that. You said people were an idiot for if they did like something. I forget exactly what it was, but...
Was I right?
You, yeah, oh yeah. You were okay. Definitely right. But some people don't like being told that they really are idiots.
And you know what? I have a wife who tells me that on a regular basis, and she's always right too, so it's okay. We're all friends here, so thank you guys for listening. I want one of you guys to take us home tonight, because my throat's shot.
Well, I want to hear Alex do it.
Do it! Do it!
Okay. Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can also get us all on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. Jerry is @GBHIL. I am @AlexDobie. You can follow all of the writers on the site. Brought to you as you always are by shopandroid.com. Call us at 888-468-6158. You can also leave us voicemail at that very same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222.
Hey, by the way, we've got a new Lloyd Gear cases coming in soon. I think they're up for pre-order now, actually, for the... Oh, I'm going to screw this up. Nexus 4, Galaxy S3, and Galaxy Note 2. So they're the really cool ones with the white background and Lloyd sticking out and printed on there. It's really cool stuff. So I think you can pre-order those now. Should be shipping anytime now. We'll have a post up when they actually start shipping, so keep an eye out for those. Alex neglected to mention Google+, which is way cooler than Twitter these days, by the way. So just search for...
Oh, we need a new script. There's a load of stuff on here that's old that I skipped over.
I know. I was waiting to see if you're actually reading it.
No, I'm I kept it together.
All right, so thank you guys for hanging in there with us for a long podcast and kind of a heated podcast, but that's okay because we are all friends here. I believe next week, Renee, you're gone again, right? So we'll probably be back to audio only. Right.
Couple of games for you people.
Cool. So probably audio only next week, and we'll get that figured out and do what we do. But thank you for coming back. Thank you for sticking around with us. Looking at the download numbers on this thing while we were gone and the special editions and all that is just crazy, and it's awesome. So thank you for putting up with me when I'm in a bad mood and I'm coughing like I am tonight, because I'm still kind of getting over the plague a little bit. But you all make this worth it, and I know I say that a lot, but I mean it each and every time. So, Jerry, Alex, Renee, all you guys in the chat room, you crazy people in the chat room. I know I'm not typing a lot, but I see you. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for listening at home later. And we'll see you next week.
Adios.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central... No, see?
See?
Damn it. That's all right. It gives me a chance to do this. Okay. Ugh. This plague, I swear.